last week, and it's great to have Will with us, and him coming in and sharing and spending the time on Saturday and the ministry tonight on Sunday. And we've been talking about the God's church, the glory of God's church, of what it is. And I wanted to speak a little bit about that this morning, and about how we together can see the release and the manifestation of God's kingdom outworked through us. And first of all, you know that God has chosen his church to be the primary vehicle to release his kingdom on the earth. God chose the church because he saw the church. So that's your reason. So you look around at each other, have a smile at each other, everybody smile at each other. See, God chose the church as his primary vehicle for him to release his blessing and his kingdom upon the earth. God doesn't have another man. God doesn't have another man, but he's chosen, as I said, the church to reveal who he is. God's plan is to use the church worldwide, and the church of worship and us. And God loves it. Do you know that? God loves his church, and God sees value in his church. It is amazing. And we know that what we do here on a Sunday has significance. And the church is not the building, we know that, don't we? But the church is us, one another, us as people. And I think one of the comments was that God, in one sense, doesn't inhabit our building, but he inhabits us when we come together. We're two or three are gathered. God is amongst us. Yes, we know that he's everywhere. But when God's people come together, that's where God's church and God's kingdom is being established and built. So we know that it's not a building that we go to, but it's God meeting together with his community. And, you know, I think as we look at God's plan for the church, just generally, we can grasp something and get excited about what he wants to do in worship. Yes?
Yeah.
We set about this community centre. What an amazing opportunity. 7 days a week, as well, to have a presence in an area in worship where we can minister to those people around. We can have a cafe, we can make it really cool, a place where people want to come and hang out. We can do different outreach, community opportunities. There are so many things that we can do to make an impact, because that's what God wants for us as a church, to be making an impact in the context where we are. It is really an incredible blessing. And so to be a Christian, to be part of God's community, is exciting, isn't it?
Yes.
And it's something that we should be excited to witness and proud to share with other people. So when you're going to work tomorrow, going away, balancing the step, and sharing it with all of those patients that you need. Sorry, I don't want to get anyone to that. I'm not going to come to you, just a little sitting there. Okay. Let's be proud that, you know, we are followers and disciples of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Because it really is the greatest privilege and calling for us. We're proud. We're not ashamed that we're Christians. We're proud that that we know Jesus and that Jesus knows us. Now I want to read from Acts chapter 2, verse 37 to 47. Acts chapter 2, 37 to 47. Are you there?
It's up there, isn't it?
Okay. Now, when people heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, Rohan will call to himself. And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exalting them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." So then those who had received the word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who believed were together and had all things in common. They began selling their property and possessions and sharing with them all, as anyone might have need. Day to day, continuing with one mind in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together and with glad and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favour with all people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. An amazing portion of scripture there. And one of the first things I wanted to, and I've just kind of just wanted to go through and look at some of those points there. And to ask some questions and to look at the early church and to see what God was doing in and through them. And from looking at that, to see actually what does God want us to be doing here in Horsham 2017. One of the most amazing verses there is it says that the Lord was adding to their day, to their number, daily those who are being saved. Isn't that incredible? So I just want to think about that for a moment. Every single day, new disciples were being added. People were coming to Jesus. There was revival. Lives were being changed. Families were being changed. Neighbourhoods were being changed. The whole city there was being changed. The power of the Holy Spirit had fallen upon them, and they would never, ever be the same. As I read that, I think that's what God wants to do today. In our lives, in our families, in our homes, in our neighbourhoods, in this town here, the same God that did those miraculous things 2,000 years ago, he wants to do the same things today. Yes, he does. He does want to do those things. So, in knowing that that's what he wants to do, then it's good for us to ask, was there something special that they did? What did they do? And there were some things that they did in that early church that God wants to encourage us to do today. You're right, Jack, you're getting cold. And that's fine. We shouldn't be, I don't know why I need to go on today, but there you go. So there's some things there. Can you all say devoted? That's a beautiful word when it comes to looking at the first church and their attitude and what they did. Devoted. That's something that we're going to just look at this morning. Because we do, don't we? We want to see the same spirit that was working in that church, working in our lives. So, it says that they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. So they were devoting themselves to various different principles and the things that God had highlighted to them. And the first thing I want to say is that it looks like the church in Jerusalem, this first church, it was a focused church. They knew where they were going, they knew what God had said to them, and they were going for it. They were focused on what God had told them to do. Now, the word devotion has the understanding of a sense of being single-minded, having a commitment to, a full dedication. That's what that word devotion means. And here we're talking about people that had families, they had people that probably had jobs, they had things that they were doing, things they had to attend to. There were everyday concerns that people were involved with, just like you and me. Lives were busy. Yet they were what? Devoted to what God told them and devoted to one another. Okay, can you just look around at each other? You're an amazingly beautiful and handsome looking bunch. There were some things and priorities that God had laid on your heart that they were devoted to seeing come about. And it sparked something in that church. There was something different about this group of people. Something different about them that made them stand out from other people around them. They were devoted. So there's four areas I just want to quickly look at this morning. One is devotion to discipleship. One is devotion to fellowship. One is devotion to breaking of bread. And the last one is devotion to prayer. So I just want to look very quickly at those four points about being devoted. And I know that you are a devoted and passionate people for the things of God. Amen? And God just wants to highlight, maybe just reinforce, encourage us in looking at the early church and seeing actually, yeah, what did they do? So the first thing it says, when it's talking about the church in Jerusalem, that they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. So I just wanted us to look at actually, what does that mean? Because we throw out these sort of titles, but what does actually being devoted to the apostles' teaching mean? Basically, it means that they devoted themselves to learning about Jesus. We've been looking over the last two or three weeks about who Jesus is, coming back to the basics, stripping everything away, making it just about him. Because that's what we want now. Faith and our church and our everything that we're really about is to be focusing upon Jesus. Yes? So the apostles' teaching is about they devote themselves to learning more about Jesus and walking in that newfound faith. What the apostles' teaching isn't, it isn't about following the latest preacher. Or going to the bookshop and just looking at the latest book that's on the number one bestseller in the Christian titles. That's not what it's talking about. What it's talking about here is being dedicated to finding out about who Jesus is and letting that understanding, that revelation, transform the way we live and think, and change everything about us. That's what it means, the apostles' teaching. Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. Are you still with me?
Yeah.
You're happy?
Yeah.
Matthew 28, verse 19 says, Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So what did Jesus instruct them to do? He said, go and teach all that I have commanded them. In other words, Jesus said, go and teach about my death, my resurrection, and all of my teachings. Go and share. Go and teach. Go to all the world and tell them about me. So that's what the apostles' teaching is about. It's about digging into and finding out who Jesus is and letting that transform and change, and we live differently because of our deepening relationship and understanding of who he is. Does that make sense? That's what it means when we're talking about the apostles' teaching. Yes, quite literally, the apostles' teaching was the word of God that they received from Jesus. And it's amazing that Jesus walked all of those years with his disciples. They not only heard his words, but they saw the way he lived. And so he was saying, teach what I've taught, but also mirror the way that I live my lifestyle as well. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says that the book of Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, training in righteousness, so that every man of God may be adequately equipped for every good work. So for us, if we want to be devoted to discipleship, moving on, growing in our faith, then we've got to allow the Word of God to penetrate our hearts and our minds and our lives. Yes? So as we read the Word of God, it must also change and have an influence in our lives. Don't want to just read the Word of God and say, that's a good story. And then it not having any influence. The Apostle's teaching is about devoting ourselves to reading the Word of God, understanding the character of who He is, being amazed by Him, and therefore then going on being transformed and being renewed in our lives, being deeply, deeply impacted by who He was. Over the last few years, at the end of last year, we had Val coming, and we had Jonathan, and we had Will. And actually, there were several strands coming through each of their different messages that I thought actually they were very similar about us getting into personal study, getting into the secret place, seeking God for ourselves, so that we can have significant, real significant spiritual growth and strength. And I just want to encourage you, highlight that, and I want to encourage you that actually that's what has been coming out, God's been saying to us. And so it's important that we know God's word, but equally we must live it. Yes? We must live God's word. So a healthy disciple, a man or a woman, a Christian that is seeking to go on with God, is devoted to God's word. And not just a hearer, but somebody who acts upon God's word as well. So I want to cast out a challenge to us today. Are we putting a high priority on getting into the Word of God? Because that is where our faith is going to come from. Because faith comes from what? Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Encouragement is going to come through reading this Word of God. Strength is going to come through reading this Word. And it's one of the keys that the first church activated. They devoted themselves. When they didn't feel like it, they devoted themselves. When it was exciting, they devoted themselves. When it was the last thing they wanted to do, they devoted themselves to do it. Why? Because they were devoted. It was a priority. And because they were getting into the Word, because they were majoring on Jesus, wow! Amazing things were happening in the church. So I just want to encourage you. In our vision statement as a church, our reader says, our mission is to be a community of Christians who are passionate for Jesus and devoted to one another. A spirit-led people with the Bible central to our lives. So that is who we are as a church, what we are encouraging us as our church, our members to be. So, as I said, I want to just encourage you, if that's okay. Study the Word of God on your own. Get together with other people. Gather people in your homes. Study the Word of God. Let's ask each other questions. Let's tease out what this means. Allow the Word of God to speak to you. Allow it to challenge you. Allow God's Word to do something wonderful in your life. But that's not going to happen unless we Unless we read it. Yes? Unless we read it. So, yeah, let's take up the challenge. Because it's getting immersed in the Word of God is going to be so incredibly encouraging and life-giving to us. Okay, so that's the first point. The second point, they devoted themselves to fellowship. So I just want to quickly talk about that. So what do we say devoted themselves to? Being single-minded, commitment, and full dedication. You know, this kind of fellowship is more than just showing us how to have a coffee after church. Yes? Because we meet together after church and how are you? Yeah. I mean, you know, your life could be falling apart. We're like that sometimes. You know, we can put this mask on, can't we? And but this kind of fellowship is a kind of fellowship where we get to know each other, we get involved in each other's lives, and we get to know the good bits, and we get to know the bits actually that maybe we don't want other people to know. But we get into each other's lives at that level so that we can encourage one another, we can build each other up, we can stand with each other when times are difficult, we can celebrate when times are great. It's a deep level of sharing with one another. And the truth is that we need each other to grow. Do you know that? The hard reality is that we need each other to grow and become disciples of Jesus. And you know, that's why church is important. I've got a fireplace at home. And if I put a few bits of paper, and I'll have a bit of paper, and I stick a lump of wood on it, very shortly that wood is going to go out. And I love lighting fires. So, gas fire, and actually there is quite a technique to it. You have to sort of chop the wood in the right size to get the fire going, and you have another stage of wood, and stack it all around. Once it gets going, you can put the logs on. You know, that's what church is like. Then we're like logs that aren't stacked together. And the heat that is generated from us being together is going to encourage one another to burn bright. And you know, sometimes if you get you get the fire going and you put that log on it, you know what? Sooner when the fire is hot, that log gets dried out and it will start to burn. If you put that log just on its own. And that's what church is. It's about logs being stacked. I'm not calling you logs, but it's about logs being stacked together so that we can create a heat that can encourage one another and let us all burn together. And that's why we need one another. That's why we need each other. It says there in the church in Jerusalem, day after day, they were meeting in temples, in the temple and in their homes, and they were challenging each other to grow and to learn. That's funny, isn't it? So it's coming together, it's having fellowship, it's having coffee, it's getting together, everyone was praying together, and it's also challenging each other. How are you doing? How's this area of your life doing? Encouraging and challenging one another at a much deeper level. And it says there that as they were fellowshipping together, they were witnessing, and they were witnessing to friends and to neighbours, and whenever there was a need, the need was met. So if someone a hardship in the family, the church pulled together to meet that need. If somebody needed a washing machine in Jerusalem, maybe someone would turn up with a washing machine, or somebody, whatever it was, those people were, the needs were being met. Do you know what? It wasn't a what's in it for me culture. It was what can I do for you? They devoted themselves to one another. say we're devoted to one another. You know, the reality is that you need me and I need you. We need each other. You know, because the best of us, the most spiritually mature, the people that we never think would ever lose the plot, have the possibility of doing that, you know. There's nobody who the devil cannot pick off. We need one another. I need you to speak to my life and encourage me, and you need me, and we all need one another to do that, to watch over us. And you know, this is probably one of the most challenging areas of church life, in one sense, because it means being honest, open, and it means speaking into one another's life. And actually, relationships take time, don't they? And they take work. They do. But this is what it's going to. Because the Bible says that by this all men will know you are my disciples when you have love one for another. So when people see us loving and interacting and caring and meeting needs and working together in such an amazing way, it's a fantastic testimony to what the Lord is doing amongst us. So fellowship means caring for one another, helping one another, loving one another, listening to this, being patient with one another, and serving one another. All things that we can do. You know, I don't know if you're in a life group, but I really want to encourage you to get part of into a life group, because it is such an important part of growing and making connection and growing with God together. And I think most people are, but I really want to say that I have benefited so much from being in a life group. I enjoy going and being part of the life group, and because Ian and Anna are in our life group, I've been able to go out and do some adventures with Ian, because we've got a relationship, because we're in the life group together. It's been fantastic. Me and Kenny are pulling through the undergrowth with me, and with our friends. Brilliant! Perhaps I don't mention that outside this room. But it's been great, and that's come because we've had a relationship together. And it's been wonderful, been really good. So, if you're not in a life group, I encourage you to get one. If you are in a life group where you attend sporadically, I really encourage you to see value in it, because this is part of the New Testament church, where they devoted themselves to fellowship, to devoting themselves. They were passionate about it. They were intentional about it. So, I'm going to go to life group, I'm going to make it a priority. I feel like I'm getting tired, but I'm going to go, because I see that there's value in it, and I'm devoted myself to doing that. Okay. Thirdly, so we've covered the word, we've covered fellowship. Just quickly, breaking the bread, 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 26. It says, "Therefore I received from the Lord that which also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he gave thanks, he broke it, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This is the cup, the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" There are two small words in the middle of that that have the power to change everything. And I think it's in the first. "The Lord Jesus might have church of broken days, thanks to be broken. So this is my body, which is for you." Which is for who? Jesus giving himself for you. We can read the scripture there, can't we? We can just just go over it. But actually, Jesus the one who used to pray, took bread and gave thanks and broke it. This is my body, which is for you. Wow. You are precious. God sees value in you. Isn't that amazing, beautiful? He did it for you. He saw you. He sees you now. He's continually praying for you, and he gave his life for you. Not for the person sitting beside you, although he did. But he gave it for you. Significance, value, you're precious. He gave his all. God gave his best. So that's why it's important for us to remember as we come and break bread, even when we meet each other's time having a meal together. As we break bread together, we remember and bring Jesus right into the center of our times together. And every time we take communion together, we remember what God did on the cross for us. We remember that He did it for us. Every time we meet together in the church, whether we meet together in the homes and we take communion together, we are celebrating and remember, and our focus becomes Him. Because that's what we want, isn't it? Jesus to be more increasingly the focus of our lives. Most important aspect of coming together, as we said, is not what we can get out from God, but what can we give back to Him? You know, when we come and celebrate our communion, it's an opportunity for us to say to Him, thank you for what you've done. I remember what you've done. Thank you. I want to worship you to a greater degree, to a more intimate level. I want to thank you for what you've done, because you did it for me. So, in your homes, is taking communion something that you do regularly? Because I want to encourage you to make Jesus a part of even of you meeting together as your family. And you know what? If I'm honest, it's something that me and my family, we can do better. Getting together and bringing Jesus into the heart of our family. Thanking Him, reminding ourselves of what He's done for each of us. It's important to do that. Are we bringing God right into the heart of our homes and our families? Are we making Jesus the central place in our relationships, in the context where we are? Another thing about taking communion is that we have to address our attitudes and our thoughts to others. You can't be really angry and hating your brother and then coming into communion just saying, no, everything's fine. Because God says it's coming from your heart. So it's like, ooh, but I don't want to do that. That's really uncomfortable, and I really do want to, I want to have a moment with that person. If I see them out there, I'm really going to give them what for, because that's what they deserve. And actually God says that heart attitude is not right. So like, why can't I feel that? Look, actually the Bible says, if you've got an enemy, pray for them. Our response to people that hurt and offend us is to forgive them, isn't it? And to pray for them. Not to harbour anything in our heart. Because actually that's going to affect our relationship with Him. So even us remembering God and doing that on a regular basis and bringing communion into our homes and our families, it's also talking about how our own attitudes that we have and keeping short accounts with God. Okay, so last week I want to just talk about prayer. This week I was invited to All Saints School, and where my kids go to. Kayla has moved on to Forest, but Andy and Ruben are there. And we want to invite several different ministers from different churches to come in and talk about Christian leadership. So I just thought they were going to ask some really easy questions. And, I mean, they're only year or fives. Anyone want to do this? They put us through the mill. They asked us some incredibly powerful questions about what it means to be a leader, what are the achievements of being a leader, what are the more difficult times of. Do you have any conflict when you're a leader? If you do, how do you deal with it? Like, wow, that's a pretty incredible question to ask. One of the questions was, what level does prayer take in your life as a leader? It's a good question, isn't it? It's a good question. And then we're looking at the life of Moses and looking at his leadership and said, so what do we learn from the story and life of Moses when it comes to leadership? But I'm just going to give that some thought. I'll come back to that later that week. It was good. We had some good insights and good things to share. I was able to just, one of the Thessalonians 5 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So actually, I was able to say that prayer does take a massive part in our life as a Christian leader, but actually it's for each and every one of us, isn't it? We should be praying always, bringing everything to God, whatever situation we're facing. If it's a work situation, a family situation, a church situation, a difficult thing, bring it to God. There's a whole thing there. Take it to the Lord. Are you weak? Mary, Mary. I'm good with the Lord. Praying without ceasing. So we can pray, we don't have to be in church. The great thing about some of these kids is that we don't need to go to a building to be able to pray. We can pray to God about anything, anywhere. These kids are really grasping something amazing. So prayer. What can I say to you about prayer that you've not heard already? Because we understand, don't we, the concept of prayer. We know that God invites us to come to Him as our Father. We know that prayer exposes us to a power that is far beyond whatever we can think and imagine. Prayer is incredible. We know that Jesus prayed in a certain way and had certain prayer habits. So I just want to ask you today, are you devoted, because this is another devoted, are you devoted to praying? If you're not, see it as a value, because this was a value that the first church held. They were devoted to prayer. Does prayer have a priority in your life? Has it become so important to you that if you fail to pray a day, you think, oh my goodness, I feel like I haven't met with my best friend. No, I've had times in my life where it's been like that. And I've had times where it's been difficult. I've had times where I've stuck away because I've just wanted to meet with God. When I've been at work, and they say, well, why is Steve spending so many times, so long in the loo? You sneak away to pray, meet with God. Wherever that may be, however that can happen, because I want to be with my best friend. And there have been times where it's been really difficult. And I felt actually God seems a million miles away. You ever felt like that? Sometimes we do. But you know, I think if we're going to be strong individually and we're going to be strong as a church, then prayer has to become an important part of what we see that we do as believers. So we must pray when we don't feel like it. We must pray even when we're too busy to pray. Because actually we're never too busy. We have to make time to pray. We must pray when we have spare time on our hands. We must pray when life is good. And we must pray when times are difficult. We all know it's very easy to pray when things are going well. How's your life? Absolutely fantastic. Tickety-boo. Wonderful. I'm just, me and God, we're just like that. Easy to pray. But sometimes when life is difficult, and we all go through those difficult times, it can be hard. Those are the times we also have to pray and be open with one another. Pray when life deals us some tough situations. Paul said, pray without ceasing. So let's do it. Let's see value in being devoted to prayer. I just want to end with a story. And I heard the story of one area in Africa where there was a revival breaking and people were meeting with God significantly every day. Actually, I remember when I was in Mozambique, we went right into the bush, and there were three teenagers that had walked 3 days to come and get a Bible for us, and had come to hear us preach. And it was almost as though their faces were glowing with the glory of God. They were singing and praying and worshipping, and they were in a completely different zone, in one sense, as it were to us. They were going so long and so happy that we had to tell them, please, can you stop? Or can you move away so we can get some sleep? They were just lost in the presence of God. This incredible experience. But this place in Africa where they were meeting with God, every day they would find their own spot to pour out their hearts to God. And they would meet with Him. And they would do that in the bush. And after some time, those spots became well worn because they would walk into the bush. They would walk through the grass. And so paths were soon created. And soon their prayer life became public. But then if somebody neglected his or her devotional life, it would be noticed by others. And believers, other believers around them would gently remind them and say, the grass grows on your path. Grass is growing on your path. You're not walking to your place. So I want to encourage us, I really do, to make life, to make prayer a much more important part of our personal life and us as a church. And I'm praying that the grass in my life and your life won't start to grow, but we'll be walking those paths. Okay, so let me just finish then. So the challenge is will we become devoted to one another, devoted to prayer, devoted to fellowship, devoted to breaking the bread, bring God right back into the very heart of our families, to remember what Jesus has done for us, to devote ourselves again to Him. Will we be devoted to being a witness and reaching out to others around us? Will we be devoted to coming and fellowshipping together to keep each other burning? To be those logs that are going to be stacked together. So what God's doing in me is going to be overflowing into you. What God's doing in you is going to be overflowing into me. We're going to encourage one another. And because that is what, even you being here today, you know, is a great encouragement to other people around you. You might just think, oh well, I'll just see it. No, you being here is a great encouragement. There's something about you being here that is going to be a blessing to other people's lives. You're significant, you know. You in this church is significant. Really is. Because as we come together, we are dedicating ourselves to exalt Him and lift Him up. So I'm just going to pray. Just ask God that if there's any encouragement in any of those areas, or maybe it's all of those areas, that we would see value in the different things that God is highlighting, in the different areas that God highlighted in the first church, so those that become more evident and active, and we would see that such a way by ourselves to those things. You know, the ultimate outcome of that is that you're going to be so blessed, strengthened and encouraged in God. And that's God's intention for you. So shall we pray together? Father, thank you for these scriptures that we've read, and thank you for the life, Lord, of the Spirit that we've seen, Lord, in this church. And Lord, we want to say yes, we know that you want to do it, and that you will do it, Lord God, in and through us and this church. Lord, we want, Lord, to be those that live in that realm of devotion to one another, devotion to you. Lord, I pray that you, God, would stir our hearts afresh again for you. And Lord, that there would be a speaking into, a supporting, an encouraging of one another. Lord, that there would be a recognition and a lifting up of your name, Lord, in our families. And Father, that you would do a deep work, Lord, in our attitudes, in our hearts. That, Lord, as we put you first and foremost, Father, that you would strengthen, you would release faith. And Lord, that we would not, Lord, be standing in our own strength, but Lord, that your word would be the foundation, and your word would be the basis of what we step out and build our lives and our church and everything that we do on. In Jesus' name.